Okay. There are several purposes for that. One, it's good to, greet one another. That's good. And two, hoping that it'll revive your seat a little bit and so that no sleeping through the message. So, okay, be watching. So, okay. So Friday evening, in Good Friday service, we spent some time just looking at the law and the fact that there is no power in the law. And yet the law served a tremendous purpose, a very valuable purpose, as we see all through the Old Testament. They had to submit to and abide by the laws, the rules, the regulations that God had placed before them for a purpose. And as we learned that the law is a schoolmaster, it teaches us and it shows us that we are lost. We're sinners. We fall short. We are lawbreakers over and over. But even if you only broke one law before a holy and righteous God, you are destined for hell. Lost soul, have done a grievance, a dishonor before a holy and righteous God, and it renders us very broken. Death is our future, not just physically, but eternally. Not to be confused, though, with the fact that those that don't know Jesus doesn't mean that they will experience eternal death and they're going to nothingness. But no, there's eternal death separated from a holy and righteous God in eternal torment, as which God's word clearly teaches. And we're not going to go into that in depth this morning, but we need to be reminded of our condition, our situation, as each of us are born into this world and our need for a Savior. And we're going to be unfolding this morning now some wonderful truths about what the law could never do. There were sacrifices made over and over and over again, and the sacrifices were never able. The sacrifices of animals, the shed blood of animals, was never able to take away the sins of the people. It was just a reminder that because of your sin, something has to die. And so sacrifices year after year were made on behalf of the sins of each and every individual. And it was a reminder that death, something has to pay. Something has to pay for our sin. And that puts us in a real predicament, because no matter how much they shed the bloods of innocent animals, or how much an individual would desire to sacrifice of themselves or to pay homage or whatever, nothing, nothing was enough to pay for the penalty of their sin. And so we're going to look this morning at the wonderful truth of what the power of the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus and what he went to the cross and has accomplished for us. My friends, it brings life. And just as we sang earlier this morning of that the grave has no hold on Christ, he rose from the grave. And I want to assure you this morning that if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have no fear of the grave. Oh, yes, your body is destined for the grave. But you, the moment you breathe your last, you enter into the very presence of the Lord. Not my promise, God's promise. His word of what we have in Jesus. And the hope of heaven, the promise of heaven. We breathe our last here and we enter into an eternal breath with Jesus, right? And what a joy that is. And the victory that we now have in Jesus. But if we're here this morning and do not have an understanding or have not come to that place of recognizing that you are eternally lost, left to your own demise if you do not recognize the one and only way for your sins to be forgiven, and you place your faith and trust in that finished work alone. If you do not do that, your future is eternal separation from God in an eternal hell that is eternal torment. In the book of Luke, we could look at that, and the rich man and Lazarus, a real picture. It wasn't a story, it wasn't a parable. This is talking about an actual conversation between the rich man and Lazarus in hell and in Abraham's bosom. And the conversation that went on there. It's a real place. But my friends, we have victory in Jesus this morning. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you knows Jesus in a personal way, that you have placed your faith and trust in what he has done. We're going to see five things this morning that come from this precious truth that there is power in the blood. And we're going to look at these from what Scripture says, and I hope that you will be encouraged and challenged. And there is no reason for us to walk in fear. There is no reason for us to walk in shame. There is no reason for us to walk in guilt because of sin. If we understand this correctly and we live it out, right, believing and trusting that Jesus is who he is and has done what he has done and what he has offered you and me to live life, abundant life. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly. And you and I have the opportunity to walk in victory this morning. And I hope that you are. But I think some things that we're going to see here this morning are important reminders, because I think the old enemy loves nothing more than to trip us up on these issues and try to get us to fall back into really observing the law. That it's all about the law. It's just about do's and don'ts, and it's not about a relationship, a life-giving relationship that comes through Christ. So, as we look here, starting out this morning in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. It says, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. God's wrath was removed. God's wrath was removed. What is this that we call this? It's propitiation. Propitiation. And is the PowerPoint, is that working all right, Gentry? Not sure. Hopefully it is. Hopefully you have a bulletin. Some of you might not have got a bulletin. We ran out, but sorry about that. God's wrath was removed. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean? It's talking about propitiation. It's that atonement of sin, the satisfying the wrath of God has been accomplished through the shed blood of Jesus. The satisfying of the wrath of God has been accomplished through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and what was shed upon the cross for you and for me. God's wrath, which should have been poured out upon you and me, and for those who don't know Christ and choose to reject Christ and go on into eternity having rejected Christ, they are going to experience the wrath of God for all eternity. But that was their choice. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to place our faith and trust by his grace and his mercy. He gives you and I breath and life. We are broken people before a holy God, and yet he chooses to give you and me breath and life. What a gift. And not only does he choose to give you breath and life, another day to serve him or to glorify and honor his name, which I want to remind you is why we're here, That's our purpose. That's what God has ordained, that we bring glory and honor to his name, not to our own. It's not about us. This world is not, and this time on this earth is not about fulfilling our wants and desires, but it's about fulfilling his and walking in step with him. The wrath of God has been satisfied. It's the qualifications needed to remove and for him to show mercy to us has been accomplished through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's good news, my friends. And I hope and pray that you and I each are treasuring and reveling in that truth, to remember that your sin and my sin absolutely deserved death. And by the grace of God, he chose, instead of pouring out his wrath upon you and me, an unbelievable time in history when the Father God turns his back upon his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus, turns his back upon him because Jesus became sin. And the wrath of God was poured out upon his Son, and he died, shed his blood for your sins and for mine. His wrath should be poured out on you and me. But Jesus stood in our place, and he took the wrath of God upon his shoulders. What a gift. And what victory you and I should be able to walk in knowing this truth. He could not sweep our sins under the rug. My friends, God, being a holy and righteous God, he could not look at humanity's sin and just say, well, you know, we got the law and we can observe that. But, you know, I sure love them. And we're just going to forget about it. And we're just going to sweep sin under the rug. Can never happen. Sin is an affront to a holy and righteous God, and it had to be paid for. And Jesus Christ and his shed blood is what brought that forgiveness and brought that removal of God's wrath upon your shoulders and mine, if you know Jesus as Savior, and he took it upon Jesus himself. He opened the floodgates of mercy through his sacrificial death upon the cross. Mercy. God withholding from us. God choosing to withhold from us what we deserve. We entered into this world lost, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. His wrath should be poured out upon us. I hope and pray it also is a reminder for you this morning, if you know Jesus as Savior, that you're still supposed to hate sin as much as you hated it, understanding that what he has done for you, that we don't desire to walk in it, that we don't embrace it, that we don't revel in sin. He came and he died for it. And the wrath of the Father of God was poured upon his Son, was poured out upon him, and that wrath is deserved to us. But he stood in our place. Your sin and my sin has to be paid for. And by the grace of God, praise the Lord, and his mercy, Jesus stood in our place and did just that. Because of our sin, we have offended a holy, perfect, righteous God. He determines, what will satisfy his anger towards us. Something or someone must pay and somehow make right the damage that has been done before a holy and righteous God. God says either we be perfect, which we know what the law has done has showed us that we are all lost, hopelessly lost. So that we have to check off the list. We can never be perfect. Not one of us fits in that. Or we can pay the price ourselves. Or God in his great love chose to send his Son to stand in our place. And he took the wrath of God. Jesus took our place and he satisfied. He took the full brunt of God's wrath upon himself. And to all who choose to be broken before God and recognize, Lord, I need you. I cannot get to you any other way except through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father. No one gets to the Father except through him, except through Jesus and what he did, what we're celebrating this weekend. My friends, be thankful that God's wrath has been removed from your shoulders. If you know Jesus, you can say that and be thankful. If you don't know Jesus, my friends, it's never too late. Until you breathe your last, it's never too late. The Lord gives you an opportunity to come to him and to trust in him, and I hope you do. Second of all, we are declared to be in right standing with the law. God's wrath is removed from us. We are declared to be in right standing with the law. Justification. We're justified by his shed blood, through his shed blood. To be declared righteous through faith in his shed blood upon the cross. Justified, declared righteous. Who are we? Remember who we are? We're broken, messed up, sinful, starting back with Adam and Eve in the garden. Our bent, our sinful, our human nature, our intention is always for us ultimately. Our motivation is always for us to get the glory. Or for there's always a motivation that's about me, some way, somehow. That's who I am, left to myself. And yet, when I come to know Christ as Savior, because of his shed blood, he now looks down upon me and he declares me righteous. Amazing. Why? Not because of anything we have done, but because of the righteousness of Christ that has been poured out upon us. Justified by faith. Romans 5:9, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? This illustration hopefully can help a little bit on what is justification. It is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned. On the ground of the merits of us? No. On the merits and the grounds of him, our Savior. It is not mere pardon. Pardon is a free forgiveness of past offenses. It has reference to those sins as forgiven and blotted out. Justification has respect to the law and to God's future dealings with the sinner. It is an act by which God determines to treat him hereafter as righteous, as if he had not sinned. What a gift, my friends. God now looks down upon us. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have been justified, declared righteous, as if you had not sinned. That is now how he sees you. But you know what? The old enemy wants nothing more than for you to wallow in despair and pity and I hate it when that happens all too often. A simple word. Regret is a good word. That still is not shame. Shame is getting closer, right? If being so just consumed always with our shame and our guilt of who we are and how broken and messed up we are. And yes, we never forget that. We don't ever forget where we have come from and what Christ has done. But to remember who you have become as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he now looks down upon you as righteous, not because of your work, but what he has done through his shed blood. And you now can walk in victory. And you now have the ability and the power and the strength within you, the Spirit of God who lives within you, to now live according to the way that he has now redeemed you to be. Are we going to do it perfectly? Absolutely not. But it should be our passion, it should be our movement, it should be our desire, it should be our purpose in life, is to now walk in such a way that we desire to be holy and righteous in moment by moment action. Positionally speaking, you're declared righteous. He now sees you as washed as white as snow, but as if you had not sinned. Yet, for us to understand, I need to, moment by moment, day by day, be desiring to walk in that truth and not allow myself to be beaten up. The enemy wants nothing more than for you to believe and think that you are not good enough. Who are you? Who are you? And the reality is we're not good enough, but our God is. Our God is so gracious and merciful. Our identity is not found in who we are, but it's found in who Christ is in us. Isn't that wonderful? That's where our strength comes from. That's when we can walk in victory. It's not because I obey the law and I do right and I flee from wrong. But no, I now walk in step with Jesus, who now lives in me and he now lives through me. And my purpose in my life and my hope is to declare his righteousness, live out this, practically speaking, day to day. He's not wanting to beat us down, but he wants to lift us up and us to walk in victory. Thirdly, we have been redeemed from the shackles of sin and have been set free. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have been freed from the shackles of sin and have been set free. Our violations of God's law means we deserve his righteous wrath and judgment. When we put our trust in Christ and his sacrificial death upon the cross, you are redeemed from several things that we are redeemed from. Satan's accusations. Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let us remember who we are living for and who has died for us and what he is longing to do in and through us. We no longer have to listen to the accusations of the devil, of Satan and his demons. We don't have to listen to it. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a thug, and he wants to kill you. He hates you. But we don't have to listen to him anymore. We don't have to walk in his ways. We now have victory. We have been redeemed from sin, and we now have the freedom to walk in the truth because Christ lives in us. Amen? That's good news. We can walk in freedom. I don't have to be wallowing in the pit of sin and despair anymore. I've been redeemed from that. And he now gives me the power and the strength. His working in me. And I don't have to listen to his lies and deception. And I'm telling you, my friends, it saddens my heart today. There are so many people today who are lost, never knowing Jesus. But what grieves my heart even more is to see how many people, unfortunately, are listening to the lies and the deceptions and the things other than God and his word. If we abandon this truth and we decide to make it say what we want it to say, we have lost our way. We are a broken and messed up people. The lies of Satan, him trying to just make us feel good in our sin. You and I are to hate sin as he hates it, and to recognize that I've been redeemed from it. I don't have to walk in it any longer. I can now walk in the truth. I have been redeemed. Are you thankful this morning that you, if you know Jesus, you have been redeemed from the shackles of sin? It has no hold on you anymore. Yes, we can give into it, but the reality is our position before Christ, we are free. We're free now to walk in the truth, and we have the power of Christ in us, the Spirit of God living within us, to now live it out. You can't do it on your own. Don't just try harder. Don't try harder in your own flesh to do it. No. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need your presence. I need you to do a work. I need for my thoughts and my heart, my mindset to be flooded with the truth of who you are and what your word says, and not to make up my own wishes and desires to justify my sin. No, I want to hate sin as you hate it and walk in the truth, walk in freedom. The record of debt owed has been forgiven. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death upon the cross, we are redeemed from Satan's accusations. We are redeemed from the record of debt owed. It has been forgiven. It's paid for. And the legal demands that were against us, the legal demands that were against us have been taken care of. You have been set free. Now walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Colossians 2, 13 through 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. To be redeemed. A good example of this. Rawr, that's right. You tell us, buddy. Rawr. That's what God does. Rawr. Right? And he's going to do it in a big way someday, and we're going to not be here to experience it. A gathering of friends to experience, to share what being redeemed looks like. A gathering of friends. Ron Hutchcraft, quote from him. Or story that he shared, a gathering of friends at an English estate nearly turned to tragedy when one of the children strayed into deep water. The gardener heard the cries for help, plunged in and rescued the drowning child. That youngster's name was Winston Churchill. His grateful parents asked the gardener what they could do to reward him. He hesitated, then said, "I wish my son could go to college someday and become a doctor." "Well, we will see to it," Churchill's parents promised. Years later, while Sir Winston was Prime Minister of England, he was stricken with pneumonia. The country's best physician was summoned. His name was Dr. Alexander Fleming, the man who discovered and developed penicillin. He was also the son of that gardener who had saved young Winston from drowning. Later, Churchill remarked, "Rarely has one man owed his life twice to the same person." My friends, you and I have been created by God, and you and I have been created for a purpose. You and I have deviated from that purpose. When we were born into this world, we were born into this world as sinners, broken, lost people. He created you. We were his creation, and yet he came to redeem us again and to give us life, the opportunity of life and hope, to redeem us from what we had chose to be and to do. That is what our Savior does, redeems us. Number four, our most treasured relationship has been restored. I love this. Our most treasured relationship has been restored. My question for all of us this morning, again, especially for those who profess to know Jesus, which I hope and pray is each and every one of us here this morning, do you see your relationship with Jesus as your most treasured relationship? Our most treasured relationship has been restored. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In our sin, we're far away from Him. We have no opportunity for fellowship and for a relationship with God because who we are an enemy of God. We are an affront to Him because of our sinful nature and our desire to live this life for ourselves. But the amazing gift that He offers to us of bringing us near to Himself and again bringing us back into a relationship with Him that can only come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that comes with it. It's the only way that sins can be forgiven, is through the shed blood of a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus Christ was that. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ, you've been brought near to Him. If you have trusted in Him as Savior, you have been brought near to Him, and that relationship now is vibrant and is to be as real as ever to you, of realizing that it is now your life is about a relationship with Him, and it's not about just simply trying to go through the motions of doing right things and fleeing from wrong things. No, it's far better than that. He now gives us the opportunity to have this love relationship with our Creator and our Redeemer, our Savior and our Lord, who deserves all of our glory, honor, and praise, our worship. Our sin against God brought distance between God and man. That's important for us to understand, and I want you to understand this, for us to understand this as believers. For us to think, oh, well, I've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and now I can live however I want. Remember what sin did to Christ, our sin. Remember how much God's wrath had to be poured out upon His one and only Son to pay for our sins. And for us as believers to think that we can now, well, boy, I've got fire insurance. I've trusted in Jesus, and I'm going to be with Him because I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and He died for my sins, and now I have the freedom. He's forgiving God, and He's just going to take me on through, and I don't need to worry about how I'm living my life because I've got fire insurance. That is not ever what God intended for you and for me. He wants for you and for me to love what He has done for us, to treasure that relationship with Him, and what you and I do day in and day out. It's about a relationship. It's not about trying to do things on your own and trying to just stay away from sin. Yes, we need to stay away from sin. We're to hate sin. But we don't go through those motions. It's about a relationship. Remember, why do I do what I do? Where do you get power and strength? It's when I recognize that Jesus is worth it all. He paid it all. And He did it for me. He did it for you. And He longs for you to do what is right and what is good because we love Jesus more. We don't love sin. We don't love our own desires and our own wishes. We love Jesus more. It's a relationship, and it's beautiful, my friends. And that's what He wants for us. He wants for us to walk in this relationship with Him that is so precious. Next, lastly, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. You and I were once enemies before coming to know Christ. There was no peace. It's interesting. I saw this stat that was put out by Moody Bible College, or Moody Bible Institute. It said the Personal Journal reported this incredible statistic. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been in peace less than 8% of the time. In its study, the periodical discovered that of the 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 years saw peace. Moreover, in excess of 8,000 peace treaties were made and have been broken. My friends, that's the reality of the peace that the world is seeking after. When it's all said and done, you'll never find it. There won't be peace here on earth with humanity, but there can be peace with God. And it's something that is sure, and that it is something that when you come to know Christ as Savior, you are brought into a peaceful relationship. You have peace with Him. You're no longer an enemy, but you now belong to Him. You become a child of God, and you have peace with God. Colossians 1, 19 through 20. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. His blood had the power to bring peace between man and God. And if you know Christ as Savior, you should be experiencing. You've been brought into a peaceful relation. You have peace with Him. You belong to Him, and it's eternal. He'll never forsake you. His word teaches us that you are sealed until the day of redemption. The Spirit of God comes in, and He is the guarantor upon our life that you will be with Him if you have trusted in Him as Savior. You have peace with God. You're no longer an enemy. But again, we're reminded in this moment of how many times we decide to go ahead and do life our own way, and we don't have peace positionally or practically in our standing with God. If you are not walking, if I am not walking in agreement with the heart and mind of Jesus, if I am not walking in step with Him as He tells me in Galatians 5 to do, if I'm not walking in step with Him, I'm not experiencing internal peace. Positionally, you might have peace with Him. If you've trusted Jesus as Savior, you do. But in the moment, you might not be experiencing peace. And you know why? Because when we choose to do things our own way, our life is going to be broken. And we don't have fellowship. We're not going to have fellowship. Oh, you belong to Him. He'll never forsake you. But just as we go back to our last point, that relationship is hindered. He doesn't forsake you, but your relationship is hindered. And we do not have fellowship with Him. You harbor sin in your heart and you think that you can, whatever the sin is, right? In lying and stealing and unforgiveness and bitterness and whatever. I don't care what it is. Sin is sin. You choose to harbor that in your heart and you will not walk in peace and fellowship with the Lord. It's a foolish decision that we often choose to make. But my friends, because of what He has done for us and what His desire for us is He wants for us to walk in victory, because there is power in the blood of Jesus and what He has done for you. Does that encourage you this morning? Reminder, does that not just bring joy to your heart to know that you have a purpose to live, a reason to live, one to live for who's bigger than us? Has a purpose bigger than what you and I think it's about. Isn't it amazing that He used the cruel cross as the instrument to bring peace between God and man to all who trust in Him alone for their salvation? My friends, maybe the most important message that I pray that the Lord would want to get across, I'm sure, for all of us, is that none of us would walk away from this moment this morning not knowing Him in a personal and a real way. Trusting in Him alone. Not in anything that you can do, but what Christ has already done for you. And then when you do trust in Him, you are given these wonderful, precious gifts that we have just looked at here this morning. And they are treasured gifts. And let's walk in them. Walk in the truth. Let us walk in victory, because the power of the blood of Jesus has set you and me free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? We're going to close with the doxology. And I think, well, Lois, if you can do that, or we can just do it acapulco. That's always fun too. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time this morning that we've had to glean from your word, Lord, what we have been given through the power of the blood of Jesus. And that sacrifice upon the cross, that perfect sacrifice made on our behalf to take away the wrath of God, to bring us to a point of being declared righteous before you. Lord, you have given us peace. You've given us hope. We've been given redemption through the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Father, I pray that you will help us to live like it. Never to live holier than thou, because, Lord, we have nothing to boast of ourselves, but only boast in you. And I pray that we will boast in you fully this morning. Be with us as we go from here. Help us to proclaim you from the mountaintops of the hope, the joy, the forgiveness, the peace that we have through you. And, Lord, help us to desire to hate sin as you hate it, because we know the price tag was more than we can imagine as the wrath of God was poured out upon your Son. Lord, we're grateful that victory is in Jesus. The third day you rose from the grave and you are alive today, and we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You're dismissed.